Welcome to my commentary on Peter's first epistle. This section, chapter 2, verse 13. We'll only do one verse because there is a lot in this verse. Let me read the verse first. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. First of all, we need to realize that the government that Peter is telling these Christians to submit to is the very government that is punishing them, imprisoning them, and executing them. If you were a Christian back in those days, how would you deal with the idea of Peter telling you to submit to the very people who are persecuting you? It's not an easy thing to get your head around. Now, we need to understand the Greek word hupotasso is the Greek word translated as submit here. It's made up of two words, hupo meaning under, tasso meaning rank or arrange. So submit in this case, as it is in many other cases in the New Testament, means to rank yourself under. And in this situation, rank yourself under government. This was a military term in Peter's day. It was used in the army. It was used for a soldier ranking under his superior. So with this in mind, Peter tells his readers, his suffering, persecuted readers, to rank themselves under those who are persecuting them in government. Now, Peter gives two reasons why the Christian should do this. The first reason is for the Lord's sake. These people were to submit not because of the sake of the government, but for the Lord's sake. Now, if you read Romans 13:1, which is almost an exact word for word as we see here in Peter, there's a few differences, you will see what the words for the Lord's sake means. Paul in Romans 13:1 says to submit to every authority because it is God who has placed that authority in existence, and if you rebel against that authority, you are rebelling against the very authority that God has instituted. So in one sense of the word, you're rebelling against God. This is another thing we have a hard time getting our heads around, because the Roman authority were not godly people. They were polytheistic pagans. The Caesar demanded worship as if he was a god himself, and thus the Christians couldn't worship Caesar. They were imprisoned and executed for disobeying God. Disobeying the Caesar. So anyways, that is the reason why we should, why these people were to obey their government. For the Lord's sake, he had put that government into place. Now you might ask, why would God put an evil government into place? Well, he's done that throughout history. He will do that when the Antichrist comes. The Antichrist just doesn't come on his own authority. He is allowed to come by God himself to accomplish God's purposes. God uses both good and evil governments to accomplish his purpose, whatever that purpose would be at any given time. When Paul says it is God who institutes governments, I do not believe that he's speaking in generalities in the sense that it is God who has instituted the idea of government. It's specific. God has been behind the scenes of every rise of every government in history. The governments in our world today are placed there And we may think in Western terms by the electorate, but not so. We have a part to play in our voting, but it is God working behind the scenes, instituting, putting in power, putting in authority those in government today. We, like those in Peter's day, are commanded in the word of the Lord to submit ourselves to government, even if our government is ungodly, which it is becoming. There's another reason why both Peter and Paul says to submit. Peter says it's because government is there to punish the evildoer and commend the good doer. Paul says the very same thing. Now, in today's government, government goes way beyond just punishing the evildoer and commending the good doer. Now, there's something interesting about the words evildoer. Let's take this in our day. In Canada, gay marriage is legalized. A Christian minister is not forced to marry a gay couple, but in the future, when that minister probably will be forced to marry a gay couple, then what does that minister do? He is trapped between two worlds. And this is another aspect to this verse. He's trapped between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of men, the nation in which he lives. Well, the Christian should understand, and this is something Peter understood, that their first allegiance is to the kingdom of God, not to the kingdom of men. You submit as best you can to the nation in which you live, but when that nation itself becomes an evildoer, you cannot submit to that nation. You do as Peter did in Acts 4, and you say, who am I supposed to obey, God or man? Peter says, I choose to obey God. So when the minister refuses to marry a gay couple, that is, in the future, will be against the law, that is deemed to be an evil act on the part of the on his part. The government views the minister as doing evil, therefore the government punishes that evil. Now, Paul says something very interesting in light of this. In Acts 25:11, Paul is standing before the authorities. He says, I've done nothing that warrants my arrest. If I have done something, even if that means I should be executed, if I have committed a capital offense, then I am willing to be executed. Paul is saying, I will submit to government even if I'm executed, if I have done something wrong, if I have disobeyed the government on a matter of a capital offense. Well, here in our future, when a minister refuses to obey the government to marry a gay couple, he chooses to obey the government of God, he is seen by the government as doing something evil. At that moment of time, you still submit to the government, accept the consequences, whatever they may be, and rejoice in the fact, as Peter says later, that you are suffering along with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are suffering for his sake. You have the like-mindedness that Jesus had concerning suffering. So this puts a whole new light on Christians' response to an ungodly government. We submit as best we can. We can't disobey God in this submission. And therefore, when the evil government demands us to disobey God, we disobey the evil government instead. And we don't try to bring that government down, especially through military means. We let God do that, because it is God who does the punishment of government, not us. We just willingly accept our fate that is provided for us by the government. This was a major point of concern in Peter's day. It has not been a major point of concern in our day, but you can bet that it will be in the future. we're on the very road right now, that future may not be too far from us. Now, concerning what I've just said, I have one last thought. Most of us in the Western world, we live in a democracy, a so-called democracy, where we can run for elected offices. We can try to become governors, premiers, prime ministers, and presidents. And we can attempt to bring our issues to the forefront. So when I say submit to government and gladly accept what they do to us as Christians, in our society, because we're not yet in the same place Peter's government was, we still have the ability to put forth our issues in a public place, even in a public government place. We have the civil rights to run for office. And I do believe that God can tell somebody to run for office with the understanding, and this is important, that changing legislation does not change the heart of a person. The New Testament doesn't suggest that we change society through legislation. It suggests very clearly we change society one heart at a time by winning individual people to Jesus. Paul, he found himself in the political system not as a politician, but as a prisoner. And he went to the very top, to Caesar himself, and I believe for the sole reason to preach Jesus to the Caesar. He was not out to change the government. He was out to lead Caesar to Jesus. I think we should have the same mentality today. This ends this section.